this passage of scripture kind of drives me nuts, to be honest, because, okay, if you ask me, like, what's your favorite verse in the Bible, I'd wrestle telling you, I don't know, maybe this one, it changes all the time. But what is my least favorite passage? What you just read, because it's like 30 chapters of people just talking. Okay, you've got Job's three friends, and they're just all airing out their opinions, and then Job's kind of fighting them back, like, well, of course I know that. Of course, you guys know what you're talking about. It's just like this human argument. I mean, it's kind of depressing. Depressing because it sounds so much like what we do today. Just everyone just talking about what they think about a certain situation. But what we read at the end of the book of Job is that they were all off. I think that's why it's so bothersome, because I know the end of the story. At the end, after, you know, Bildad says his thing, Eliphaz says his thing, Zophar says his thing, you have the Lord in chapter 42, verse 7. It says, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. That's a harsh statement. Could you imagine God saying to you, my anger burns against you? That's terrifying. So we know from the end, God's not pleased with what they said and how they said it. And so when you're reading through, it feels very tedious, because the whole time you're going, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that's true. Kind of like what we do in life. And so they're having these discussions, and at the end of it, God says, I'm so angry with you. Now, there's something to be learned from all of this. Really, what these three friends of Job do is they teach us how not to respond when someone is suffering. You ever been in a situation where someone is going through so much pain and they're acting so differently than you've ever seen them, and you don't know what to say? But there's something in us that it feels like we've got to say something, and maybe my words will change the situation. I mean, probably the wisest thing Job's friends did was that period of time when they were just quiet and they mourned with them. But here they're talking. You have Eliphaz who basically infers that, you know, if you were living a righteous life, God would bless you. You have Bildad who makes an even worse assumption, which is that if you're suffering, God must be punishing you. And then you have Zophar, who's really just saying the same type of thing. And so all three of these guys say what they need to say. And then at the end of it, God gets really angry. And that's an important point there, because I think most of us think, well, as long as I say something with a kind heart, God can't get mad at that. Or as long as I'm just trying my best to say something. No, the Bible says that we're going to be judged for every careless word that comes out of our mouths. If there's one lesson we need to learn from these 30 chapters, it's to be careful with what we say. Proverbs says that with many words, sin is not absent. And we live in a church culture where we really don't take the abundance of words like it's a big sin. We just kind of go, well, I just talk a lot. Oh, yeah, she's that lady that just can't stop talking. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I'm sorry. I talk a lot. I'm sorry. I get nervous and I talk. You guys, it's not okay. Every careless word that comes out of our mouths, God notices. We're being watched, and we can say things that will actually detract from the glory of God. That's why James says, as teachers, you better be careful because you're going to be judged more strictly. That's why the Bible says we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We've all said some careless things in life. Job, at the end of the story, repents of that and says, you know what? I should not have said those things. I didn't know what I was talking about. And we're studying this book where there's these discussions going on in heaven that affect the circumstances on earth. And the reason why they missed it all was because they were looking at the here and now, and they weren't looking at the heavenly picture. So let me just ask you, what did God and Satan have a discussion today? And if they did, what did they talk about? Answer that. I hope your answer is, I have no clue. We have no idea. Job and his friends had no idea what was going on up there, and yet they spoke as if they could figure out an earthly situation without understanding what was going on in heaven. This would be a great week for you to practice some stillness. In a time when people are quick to speak, sometimes we can rush into prayer and say, God, fix this, fix that, rather than coming before God in silence, understanding who he is, and just confessing, God, I don't know what you talked about today. I don't know what all is happening in the heavenly realms. So I'm not going to try to figure it all out. Just give me the wisdom and the power to glorify you by what I say today. Help me to stay humble, recognizing that things are going on in this world that I don't understand. Forgive me for the times when I've spoken with such assurance to people, and I promised them things would get better when I didn't even know if they would. And I didn't see the big picture. If we don't understand the plans of God, humble yourself. Admit that you don't know everything that's going on. Point people to this eternal narrative. I have some friends, and my friend Christy had been suffering with this neurological Lyme's disease for over 30 years, pretty much bedridden. And I was there when someone laid hands on her and prayed for her, and she was miraculously healed. It was several years ago, and she's perfectly fine now, running around, everything's great. It was a miracle. I've never seen anything like that, not to that extent. Then a couple years ago, her husband got sick, also a very godly man. So we all laid hands on him and prayed for him. But he didn't recover. He went home to be with the Lord. I don't know. I don't know. There's no pattern to this. The only pattern is for us to humble ourselves and say, I don't know why sometimes he heals here on the earth, sometimes he doesn't. I don't know why sometimes they're suffering and sometimes even the wicked prosper. I don't understand it all. Let's just humble ourselves. Let's be silent before the Lord and just seek to glorify Him no matter what comes our way.